This is Catherine of Orange.
Morning, this is Dan.
Hi, Dr.
Hi, this is Dan.
Jenna's in the office along with Krishna and I, and Dr. Stenhoff, Dr. Rates, and Dr. Davey are on the line. And we also have an applicant, Michael Reed, and her current supervisor, Liz Carr, present.
Okay, thank you. So, do we have a quorum?
Yes, you do.
All right. Let's call this meeting to order.
Good morning, this is Jean Galvin.
Morning, Ms. Galvin.
How are you?
So, this is Brian Davey. I just wanted to let you know, sir, that I am about 3 minutes from my office, so I am still in route, and I will be in front of my computer in about 3 minutes.
All right, thank you. So we have a quorum. Can we have a roll call?
Yes. Dr. Davidson?
Here.
Dr. Davey?
Present.
Dr. Davis Wilson?
Present.
Dr. Rates?
Present.
Dr. Stenhoff?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Item number three, call to the public. I understand we have one person in the office or on the phone. Is that person interested in making a statement to the committee at this point?
She, Michael Reed is an applicant, and she is requesting to speak at the time that her application is called.
Okay, thank you very much. Then item number four, approval of minutes from May 31st, 2019. And I have a motion to approve the minute.
I motion to approve the minute.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Stenhoff. I'm going to abstain or recuse myself from this vote as I wasn't present at the last meeting.
Got it. That makes sense. Thank you. Any further discussion? We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of May 31st. Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is item number five, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding recommendations to the board pertaining to approval of behavior analyst applicants. We have 17 applicants, a pretty big agenda. We have one applicant present, Michael Reed, that's applicant number 9. Would it be okay with the committee if we took Ms. Reed's application first?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Let's do that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Dr. Davis Wilson. I just have one small disclaimer that I am familiar with Michael Reed, and I have overseen some of her work outside of supervision. I was not a part of her direct supervision experience, although she did complete some hours at my place of employment, but I am confident moving forward with this review of her application.
Thank you. And I too am familiar with Ms. Reed. I was the director of the NAU graduate certificate program, although Ms. Reed and I didn't have much interaction at all. Don't believe I taught any of her classes, but I am confident I can be objective in this application review. Dr. Raitt, will you give us a summary of this application, please?
Yes. So Michael Reed is a board-certified behavior analyst as of August 2018, and is also licensed in cosmetology within the state of Arizona. She received her master's in education from NAU in May of 2015, and a grad certificate in positive behavior supports in December of 2014. Supervision hours were reported as a total of 1,599.5 hours between a few different places and supervisors. Initially, supervision between 2015 and May of 2016 occurred between four individuals for a total of 311 hours at Hope Group. It was noted that one of the individuals providing supervision currently has an active license, but it was active at the time of supervision. The remaining hours for a total of 1,288.5 hours were completed between January 2017 and March of 2018, and this was with a Karen Barnett. One note for this was that supervision was done remotely. So it seems from the application that all of the activities happened in Arizona, but the individual supervising was in Alaska and did have a license there at that time. And those were the things I noted within the application, really just that last piece being something to discuss.
Okay, so the supervisor, Ms. Barnett, was licensed in Alaska at the time of supervision. The service that Ms. Reed provided, the experience, took place in Arizona. Ms. Barnett was not licensed in Arizona at that time. Do I have that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is that going to work in Arizona law?
Mr. Chairman, I believe the licensure is acquired for the jurisdiction in which the actual supervision or the actual independent hours took place. That is my understanding of the statute.
Dr. Davey, I would agree with Dr. Davis-Wilson. The statute rules are pretty clear. The person was licensed by the state in which the supervision occurred during the period of supervision experience. So if the activities were in Arizona, the supervisor would need to be licensed in Arizona.
So that's a total of 1,288 hours that cannot count for its licensure. Is that correct?
That is how I understood it as I was reviewing the application. It sounds like that might be what we're hearing from Dr. Davey and Dr.
Yes, I agree with that interpretation, Dr. Davey.
Ms. Reed, would you like to clarify or do you have any other experience that could count towards your Arizona licensure?
I do not have documented experience. I was working the entire time under supervision. It just wasn't counting towards the supervision that I could send to the board. The way that it read and the way that I interpret it, it says was licensed by the state in which the supervision occurred. It does not say the activities. So therefore, I interpreted it that as long as she was licensed in the state where she was doing the supervision, then it was okay.
Yeah. Our statute is pretty clear that the person providing the supervision in Arizona must be licensed in Arizona. If your experience had been in Alaska and you had supervision from someone who was licensed in Alaska, that experience would work for us. But unfortunately, your experience was in Arizona and your supervisor was licensed in Alaska. We don't really have any way around this because that's the law.
It does not state activities. It just says supervision. And technically, my supervision concurrently occurred in Arizona and Alaska at the same time because she was in Alaska and I was in Arizona. Had I been in Alaska, it would have occurred the same way, and it would have been approved as reciprocity, so I felt like it would have been okay this way also.
This is Jean Galvin. I'm the board's attorney. You don't have documentation of the supervision that you received while you worked in Arizona?
I was under supervision at Hope Group the entire time. I was also receiving supervision with Karen Barnett. The supervision at Hope Group did not apply because the supervisors would not sign due to my billable hours being under their requirement to count towards supervision for free supervision. So I had to find an affordable alternative. I did look for an alternative in Arizona. I did not get any responses from the board certified behavior analysts that were qualified to do supervision in Arizona. Therefore, I had to look for somebody outside of Arizona to do the supervision.
This is Dr. Davey. Just a question on clarification. Did you say that there were BCBAs you worked with that are unwilling to sign supervision documentation
Yes.
while they were supervising you?
Yes. They signed documentation required for the insurance companies, but they would not sign off on the documentation that would be turned into the board. Because of the billable hours. I did not have enough billable hours because the only thing that was billable on my part was the time that I spent directly with a child. And more than that is counted towards supervision, obviously.
Ms. Reed, do you have a copy of a supervision contract with that location?
With Hope Group? Or
correct.
With Karen Barnett?
With Hope Group.
Yes.
Okay, and those were outlined in the contingencies of the contract?
The contract changed midway through.
Did you sign the updated contract?
I believe I did not have a contract assigned due to the fact that I wasn't participating with the supervision any longer.
Okay. So the BACB does require that a contract be signed before a supervisor is able to sign off on hours.
Correct.
Just for clarification for you, Dr. Davey, that without a contract, the supervisors actually are unable to sign off on hours.
Well, what I'm hearing is there was a contract at one point and then there was an updated contract?
Yes, and I did not sign the updated contract because I did not qualify for supervision.
And the hours that you've submitted that were signed off by supervisors at Hope Group, that was under the initial contract?
Yes.
So I've just been going through the statutes, and I don't see any way around it. Supervisor qualifications, the board shall accept for the purpose of licensure hours of supervised experience only if the supervisor was licensed by the state in which the supervision occurred during the period of supervised experience, or if licensure of behavior analysts was not available or not in effect in the state in which the supervision occurred during the period of supervised experience, was certified as a behavior analyst by the BACB. So what that means is if the state itself did not offer licensure, BCBA would meet the qualifications of a supervisor, provided they were also met the supervisory requirements. But in a state like Arizona that has had licensure in effect since 2010, we need anybody who applies for licensure who had their experience in Arizona must have been supervised by a licensed behavior analyst. Those statutes are on the board website along with the rules. I can't see any way around this.
Well, I have it right in front of me, and it reads exactly as you said. What the difference is you're saying that the activities and the supervision are the same thing. Well, it also says that remote supervision is allowed. Therefore, it says that you can do these supervision in person. On-site observation is preferred, but use of web cameras, videotape, video conferencing, or similar means that provide synchronous observation is acceptable. So I did receive that, and I also did have a supervisor that was licensed in the state where she was supervising. So it does not say activities. It says was licensed by the state in which the supervision occurred during the period of supervised experience. There's nothing that says activities and supervision need to occur in the same state. And I did adhere to the requirements of in-person on-site observation, videotaped video conferencing, or similar means. And it met the BACB requirements as well. Therefore, I feel like it does qualify because the statute does not state specifically activities. It says supervision. And she was licensed in the state where she was supervising.
Mr. Chair, I would just point to the definition under, and get to the point of this, R4-26-401 under definitions. The definition number 15, supervised experience, means supervised independent field work, practicum or intensive practicum. So I think that is also pretty clear in terms of what it is, the expectation of the board is to fall underneath that purview of supervised experience.
We have other applicants who have received remote supervision from other licensed behavior analysts, but they were, for all of their supervision to count, those behavior analysts, even if they lived in Nevada or Alaska, were licensed in Arizona. That was the intent of the original law. That was the language that has always been interpreted that way.
And Mr. Chair, this is Dr. Davis Wilson. To give perspective as to why the law is interpreted that way, is because the law is meant to protect the consumers in Arizona, meaning that those practicing in Arizona must meet the statutory requirements of our state. And so I think the issue comes down to is that the consumers and the work being conducted were of that of Arizona, and that's kind of that distinction of, is it the location of the supervisor, the location of the mentee? The nature of the law is intended to protect consumers, which is why the location of the independent fieldwork as a whole matters when it comes to interpreting the statute. Because in Arizona, practicing without a license is problematic. So that's and the supervision hours for me are a part of, like Dr. Davey said, a part of the combined experience, and they're interpreted that way even by the EACB as a combined experience. When you turn in 1,500 hours, that's inclusive of all of those activities. So unfortunately, I don't see any other way around it except to encourage Ms. Reed to go, possibly to her current employer and see what they can set up to get that documentation rolling. It would allow her, we could entertain the idea of allowing her to withdraw her application, and then that would give her the opportunity to work with her employer. And we have had that happen in the past as well, and individuals have been able to seek licensure through that means as well.
So as far as...
I would just point to one... This is Dr. Davey. I would also just point out to one other definition that talks about the onset of supervised experience and then goes on to define right underneath that appropriate activities. And so that is, again, our 4.2 supervised experience requirement. And so if you go down to that section underneath C, supervised or standards for supervised experience, the first part talks about what it is that we look for, that we can accept, cannot accept, and then it goes on to list what those activities are. So of supervised experience completed, concurrent, it goes on to list out such things as conducting assessments, designing, implementing, monitoring skill acquisition, so on and so forth. So I do believe that activities is correctly linked to the supervised experience under that particular section of our statute. So, Mr. Chair, I think at this point, our question is either deny the application or allow the applicant to withdraw the application. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
Those would be the options. I have one more question for Ms. Reed. Is it possible that some of those 1,200 hours that were supervised or that were accrued while working at Hope Group, that some of those could be is it possible to go back and get supervision verification forms signed prior to the time in which your contract was changed?
Mr. Chair, this is Dr. Davis. I know that question was directed to her, but I would also like to point out that the supervision contract is a requirement in our rules as well.
And from what I heard, there was a contract for the earlier part of her supervision, but there was no signed contract for the second part after the contract changed. Is that correct? Ms. Reed, that question is directed to you. Do you have
I'm sorry. Yes, I had an earlier contract. They voided it with the new contract. So there's not a way to go back and get those hours signed. And if I did, I'm not sure that they would sign off on enough hours to qualify for the minimum of 20 hours a week. And it wasn't tracked that way. I had to start tracking in a different way, so it would be incredibly difficult to get those hours. So while I was receiving and doing all these activities, they weren't getting signed off on. So I don't think I could retroactively go back. My question, I do have a question in regards to protecting the consumer. Alaska has reciprocity in Arizona, so I'm confident that our standards are the same, whether it's Alaska or Arizona.
Unfortunately, Arizona does not currently have a licensure by reciprocity standard at this time that would qualify. So when you read the statute, and I apologize, I don't have that section right in front of me at the moment, but there's a section that talks about licensure by reciprocity, and that is not something that is accepted by Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah, so it seems like we have exhausted all options that we can think of to help you at least account for some of those 1,200 hours. But I think the best, the option of allowing you to withdraw your application, accumulate more hours supervised by someone licensed in Arizona, and then apply again at a future date is an option that's on the table.
Okay. I will go with that option.
All right.
This will be a recommendation to the board, and then when the board makes the final decision, you may or may not take action based on the board's final decision.
Thank you, Ms. Galvin. That is correct. This committee can only make recommendations to the full board, and it's up to the board to make that decision to allow you to withdraw your application.
Okay.
So how will Ms. Reed be notified? Just she can attend the board meeting. She can look for the minutes.
I don't know, Kathy and Jenna, will this recommendation be on Friday's agenda?
Mr. Chairman, Jean, yes, this will be on Friday's agenda.
All right, perhaps the applicant can contact Kathy later this morning or this afternoon to get that information and how she could participate in the call or attend the meeting. Participate in the call.
Yes, we'll take care of that.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion?
None here.
Thanks. Hearing none. Let's move on to our first applicant on the list. Ms. Reed, thank you for joining us. You welcome to stay or welcome to leave.
Thank you.
Okay. The first applicant on the list is Andrea Geisler.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry, yes?
This is Dr. Rates, and I have sent in a form. I am one of the supervisors for this individual, so I will not participate in this review.
Thank you, Dr. Rates.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Stenhoff.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dr. Rates.
I was just going to ask for a point of clarification on the last applicant. Do we not need a motion?
Are you doing it by group, by section, or individually?
We have done motions in the past by group. At the end of item number 5, there's a motion.
Fair enough. I just given the circumstances around this one, I just wondered if there was going to be a separate motion. I appreciate that.
That's a good question. I mean, Ms. Galvin?
If you're more comfortable taking that item separately and making a motion now, you're welcome to do that.
Okay. Committee members, can we have a motion regarding Michael Reed's application.
This is Dr. Reed's motion that we make a recommendation that she be able to withdraw her application.
And the reason for that would be her failure to meet the appropriate supervision requirement?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
And this is Dr. Davey. I will motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Andrea Geisler. Ms. Geisler earned her Master of Science in Psychology.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I need to disclose that I was Ms. Geisler's instructor while she was a student, but I feel that I can be objective in reviewing her application.
Okay. Any other recusals or disclosures?
Yeah, Mr. Davidson, this is Dr. Davis Wilson, this is Dr. Davis Wilson. She did complete some of her hours at my place of employment where I was the director. However, I was not a part of her direct supervision experience, and I am comfortable and confident moving forward with the review of her application.
Okay, thank you. We have one recusal. We still have four committee members, so we can move on with this application. So she earned her Master in Science and Psychology from ASU between August 5th of 2015 and May 12th of 2017. She received 1,592 hours of supervision under six different supervisors and six different sites. One of those sites included someone who I think was also is not licensed in Arizona and not licensed in Nevada at the time. But that was only for 60 hours, and if I do the math correctly, she still would have more than 1,500 hours needed to meet the requirement. In your applications, that person was the last verification form from Blossom Park Fit Learning, and Tiffany Anino was the supervisor. Anybody else see that? Trying to find the right page.
I'm showing it as page 36 of the PDF.
Thank you. So, other than that, I don't have any other concerns with this application. Is anyone else?
I do not, Mr. Chin.
Okay. I would recommend that this application be forwarded to the full board for approval. Hearing no other concerns, let's move on to the next application. Brooke McKenzie, I'm sorry, Brooke Lakeman, Dr. Davey. Hello, is anybody there?
Sorry, yes. I'm talking into my muted microphone.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear anybody.
My summation of Brooke's application was outstanding, and now I have to try to repeat that. I reviewed this application for licensure from Ms. Blakeman from the state of Arizona. She went through the FIT program and Arizona State University programs. She's responsible.
Dr. Davey, can I interrupt for a second?
Yes.
Is it possible for you to be closer to your microphone? I'm having trouble hearing you. Coming in and out.
Let me see if I can do that.
That's better.
Is that better?
Oh yeah, much better.
I will yell at my phone more often. I was just saying that the individual applicant went through FIT's program as well as ASU's program. The FIT program was around the BCBA certification. The ASU programs were master's in special education as well as a bachelor's in fine art. She responded to all of our questions in the application and provided us information on her supervised hours. First one came from Mr. Siegel, who you will see has his license in good standing in the state of Arizona during the period of time when the individual was supervised. We'll also see another one signed off by Supervisor Aaron Cook, same thing, in good standing in the state of Arizona with their licensure during the period of supervision. Finally, Sarah Mitchell, maiden name Linehart, also in good standing to be able to provide supervision. I think in the last one, unless I missed one, was Jessica Mayfield, also in good standing with the BACB and the state of Arizona. I saw no issues with this application and would request to move forward.
Thank you, Dr. Davies. Any other committee members have questions or concerns about this application?
None for me.
Me neither. All right, so we move on to the third applicant, Elaine Helton.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Dr. Stenhoff.
This is Dr. Stenhoff. I'm recusing myself from items number 3 and 4, or applicants number 3 and 4.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Rates. I will note that I did have this individual in class. However, I feel confident that I'm able to move forward.
And Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Davey. I also know the applicant as she did part of her supervised work at my place of employment. However, I'm confident that I can move forward in this discussion without bias.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Mr. Chair, this is Dr. Davis Wilson. I know this is my applicant, but I will also throw out there that she did a very short amount of her supervision under the program in which I was the director. I did not have any interaction with her and was not a part of her actual direct hours, so I am comfortable moving forward as well.
Thank you for that.
All right.
All right.
Elaine Helton is applying. Oh, sorry. You ready for it?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Dr. Davis Wilson.
She is applying for licensure. She was certified in August 2018. She completed her master's at the ASU Master's Psychology ABA program and completed over 1,500 hours across 5 practicum sites from the period of September 2016 until May of 2018. I have no questions or concerns with her application, and I would recommend it to be moved forward to the full board.
Thank you. The committee members, any questions or concerns regarding this application?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Hearing none. We'll move on to applicant number four, Aaron Bradley. Dr. Rates?
Yes. So I will note that I am reviewing this. I did know the applicant as she attended one of my classes, but I feel confident I can move forward without bias.
Thank you. And Dr. Stenhoff, yes. You have recused from this review of this application.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
So Erin Bradley received her MS from ASU in May of 2017 in applied behavior analysis. She had a total of 1,580 hours of supervision between August of 2015 and May of 2017. All of the hours were signed off by Dr. Hoff. She completed her hours across three different locations, Mark Community Resources, Arizona Centers for Comprehensive Education and Life Skills, and Arizona Autism United, and received a BCBA in February of 2018. I did not see any issues with this application and would recommend that it be moved forward.
Thank you, Dr. Reed. Any other questions or concerns from other committee members? Hearing none, let's move on to applicant number five, Jane Dutoma, Dr. Stenhoff.
Okay, so Ms. Dutoma got her Master of Arts degree at Florida Institute of Technology in Professional Behavior Analysis. She also received 1,750 hours under the supervision of Leslie Burt's Whistle. Between March of 15 and September of 17, I do not have any concerns with this application and recommend that it be forwarded to the board.
Thank you, Dr. Stenhoff. Any other questions?
Yeah, this is Dr. Davey. With regard to Jane Tacoma's application, I did have just a few questions with regard to her supervised work experience. Beginning on page 7, the PDF, which is the part that's signed off by Leslie Birdswhistle, looks like the period of supervision for that 1,750 hours was between March 1st of 2015 through September of 2017. If we scroll down to when the individual became licensed in the state of Kentucky, the individual that was not licensed in the state of Kentucky, it looks like until 7/24/15, so just about a four-month gap there. And then further, if we look at meet supervision requirements that were provided by the BACB, the individual was not did not pass through supervision requirements for the BACB until June of 2016. So I noted that in reviewing this application as problematic.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. So Kentucky licensed behavior analyst long before 2015, if I recall. And you say that Ms. Birdwhistle was not licensed in Kentucky until July of 2015?
Yeah, the exact date, Mr. Chairman, is July 24th of 2015 was her date of issue.
Okay. So for number one, I mean, just for the first part of what Dr. Davey reported is that those hours up until that July date, because Kentucky licensed behavior analysts and that particular person was not licensed in the state of Kentucky, we may not be able to account those to count those hours. Am I hearing that correctly?
That would be correct in the circumstance, yes.
Yeah.
And then the second item was regarding the same supervisor not meeting supervisor requirements.
That would be correct. And in fact, her original certification for the BACB is almost 3 months past when she began supervising this individual. So original certification for the supervisor was May 31st, 2015. Individual did not meet requirements to supervise through the BACB for almost a year after that. And so, again, those first couple months of supervision would not count through just the BACB's verification, let alone what the Commonwealth of Kentucky has said.
Mr. Chair, Dr. Davey, would this be a time in which we could recommend board staff to reach out to her? I would probably say we would need a request for information, but this may be a good time to also include the possibility of her submitting her BACB form to see if maybe there's just some date discrepancies. But I definitely see the concerns and agree with the concerns, and I would recommend an RFI to seek clarification on the issue.
I think that sounds outstanding. I agree. I mean, if I look at this from just a pure logical standpoint, she has more than 1,500 hours. The individual most likely could provide the BACB verification form to pass this new committee.
That makes sense to me.
The only area that I would say that is concerning is around the BACB supervision piece. That is 6/19/2016. So hopefully the verification form for the BACB will shed some light, perhaps on an additional supervisor that was involved.
So, Kathy, do you have all of these items in your notes?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, yes, I will draft a first additional information letter for Dr. Davidson to sign that requests the BACB experience verification forms.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions or concerns or suggestions regarding this application? Hearing none, let's move on to applicant number six. Katarzyna Malowitz. Ms. Malowitz, and I apologize if I'm butchering her name, earned her Master of Science in Elementary Education, Special Education in 12 of 2018. And she got a grad certification in ABA from Penn State in August of 2011. She earned 1,575 hours of supervision under one supervisor, Ivana Kostoska Guerrero, at one site, All About Kids in New York. New York did not license behavior analysts. She did her supervised experience between 8/24 of 10 and 8/17 of 11, which is less than 12 months. She also, her first class began in 9 of 2010, and her first, so her experience began in 8/24 of 2010, so some of that experience cannot count if she hadn't yet started her classes. I have a concern about her experience hours. Number one being completing the experience in less than 12 months, and number two, starting her experience prior to starting her first course in ABA. Are there any questions or concerns or other comments about this application? I would recommend.
I just have another comment. Oh, never mind. I answered my own question. I apologize. But I agree with your concerns.
Okay. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Does this?
Mr. Chairman, yes. This is Kathy. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe, did the rule change regarding the 12 month? I think that is not in the rule anymore, I believe.
Kathy, you are correct. The less than 12 months is no longer in the rule. However, the starting of the supervision at the onset of the coursework still is a requirement. So I would agree with Kathy that there's not anything we can do about the less than 12 months.
Okay.
But still be a concern with the onset of coursework.
Okay. Would this be best addressed with a letter or perhaps a phone call if she has other experience she could offer after the start of coursework? What would be the best? Can we address this with a phone call?
Mr. Chairman, this is Kathy. I believe historically the committee has requested this through a formal first additional information request letter.
That's fine. Thank you. Do you have all the information you need, Kathy?
Yes, I believe so. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions or concerns about this application? Hearing none, let's move on to applicant number 7, Christina Judy. Dr. Davey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. All right, let's take a look at Christina Judy's application. She comes forward seeking licensure in the state of Arizona. She was involved with the Arizona State University program and went through the curriculum and instruction with an emphasis in applied behavior analysis program. She did experience at United Cerebral Palsy of Southern Arizona as well as Hopeful. And the individual brings forward her application complete with the final experience verification forms from the BACD. Her supervisor is in good standing in the state of Arizona and is eligible to supervise and in good standing with the BACD during that time period. The second individual that signed off was listed, Mariah, Kapua. She is the secondary person on the final BACB experience document on page 77. You'll see that she was not licensed during the entire time, I believe, that this individual was seeking supervision. But again, I think that she came on later in the scenario. If you kind of look at the documentation, who the primary supervisor was. That was really the only thing I noted on this application. Otherwise, I think that it's ready to be moved forward.
So she does have enough supervised hours under the first supervisor?
Well, the way I read it, she has 15 exact. Well, she has 0.24 over
which she needs under the 1,500 hours. The experience verification form lists two, again, looking at page 7 on the PDF. So you have Raquel and Mariah both listed as supervisors with a period of September 18, 2017 through March 2019. We have first supervisor, Ms. Elby, who was in good standing for that entire period. And then you have the secondary individual who became licensed in the state of Arizona in December of 2017. So not have been eligible to supervise during that 3-month period. But given the fact that this says the person responsible, the responsible supervisor on the BACB documentation, halfway down again, I'm looking at PDF on page 7, the responsible supervisor information and attestation is signed off by Raquel. That this is, she was the responsible supervisor who provided supervision to this individual.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or concerns about this application? Hearing none, move on to applicant number 8, which is Martin Myers. Dr. Davis Wilson.
Yes. Martin Myers is applying for licensure as behavior analyst. He has been certified since February of 2015. He completed his master's degree at the ASU Curriculum and Instruction Online program and then completed supervised experience or additional supervised experience between October 2017 and May of 2019. The application looks good. One point that I would like to point out, and this is probably more of as board staff how we're or with board staff how we're going to work on this, but because the form that was signed for supervision does allow for a responsible party to sign, the responsible party isn't required to have a supervisor attestation with the BACB. So in this particular case, the responsible party that did sign on the supervised hours is not approved by the BACB because she's the responsible party and not the actual BCBAs that provided all of the supervision. So I think that that's going to be something that we'll likely see come up. But I think that for the sake of this particular application, it's full and complete, and I feel that he meets the current requirements.
Thank you. Are there other questions or concerns with this application?
Mr. Chair, I would just point out that originally reviewing this documentation, I was uneasy with the initial correspondences around supervision, particularly the letter that was sent stating what that supervision looked like. It was not with regard to their BCBA or BACB supervised experience. And having that secondary documentation on the BACB verification form did provide, you know, better insight into the fact that the individual had received that field work. Normally we have a second applicant that's kind of in the same boat, that there was this initial letter from their supervisor talking about their position and signing off on 2,800 hours of quote-unquote supervision. And that's not really what we're asking about. We're asking about their supervised experience, meaning what they did in their independent field work practicum or intensive practicum, not what they did as part of their job.
Both that.
The only thing I saw was possibility was the original date of certification for the individual who signed off, she became certified on February 28, 2015, and I don't understand that because this individual has signed off on supervision periods from January of 2014 through the end of that year. The question I had, page number 17, and Ms. Wilson, you reviewed this, I'm sure, in depth, so I don't know if you saw that. Then there was several correspondences about the individual's credential or experience verification form, perhaps being in the past, some other things that were really written in there. But I just didn't know if you had any thoughts about that particular original certification date on GDF page 17.
So there's correspondence with the BACB, Dr. Davey, that the BACB is attesting to 2009. And so while I understand your concerns, on page 19, Kathy did reach out to the BACB, and she did seek clarification as to why that particular BCBA's number is, and recertification is 2015, when she lists her number as being 2009. And the BACB has verified the 2009. So I understand your perspective. I think it's I'm a little bit baffled about that as well, but when you have even the BACB saying, oh no, she's been good since 2009.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of puts us in a funky position.
Yeah. It almost makes you think like it lapsed once and she had to go back in, perhaps. Like it just struck me as odd. And then even the BACB letter back saying, according to our review of the record, this individual was approved to provide supervision from 2009 forward. It doesn't, it's interesting that that's the term they use, provide supervision versus was licensed or was certified at the BCBA. And so I found that just kind of baffling in terms of their response.
Yeah, and Dr. Davey, I agree. And the requirement to get approval for providing supervision wasn't until 2015. So that's what I agree with you. There's something a little bit interesting about the way that they they're attesting that. I wonder if you get a new number, and I don't know if you retake the exam as part of your CEUs. I can't imagine. That seems silly to me, but yeah, I think there must have been a lapse, or you maybe retook the exam, or it's very bizarre. But the BACB is saying that the experience verification form is accurate with the 2009 number.
I just wonder, and again, I don't want to hold this up, but I just wonder if the question to the supervisor, like, is this, we got the BACB giving us some interesting terminology around their response that, the board staff was right on top of it and asked about. I just wonder what the supervisor would say about all of this.
Right. No, and I agree with you. When in reviewing this, I was kind of like, the application, he meets the standards, it's good to go, but there was just some wonkiness in it.
I don't know how others feel if we need further clarification if we're, I'm not wanting to hold this applicant up by any means. I just found it sometimes disconnected in terms of the ACB documentation, not necessarily applicant.
If the BACB, I'm fine with the BACB's correspondence with us.
Yeah, I'm okay moving forward as well.
I do want to thank Kathy also for catching that and reaching out to for clarification. Any other questions or comments about concerns regarding this application? Hearing none, let's move on to applicant number 10, Mindy Krause. Dr. Stenoff?
Ms. Krause started her Master's of Education at Arizona State University in January of 17 and completed in August of 18. She received 721.75 hours under Jessica Donnelly and 778.5 hours under Elizabeth Lewolinski for a total of 1,500 hours. I did not have any concerns with this application.
Thank you. other committee members. Any questions or concerns regarding this application? Hearing none, let's move on to applicant number 11. OSHA Cross. Ms. Cross earned her Master's in Education and Foundations of Behavior Analysis between May 2015 and 12 of 2016. Ms. Cross initially submitted experience verification forms that did not meet the provision requirements. Kathy asked for clarification, eventually received the original verification form submitted to the BACB. Three sites, three supervisors, all in Florida, for a total of 1,638 hours. Ms. Cross was certified as a BCBA in May of 2017. I don't have other concerns about this application and would recommend that we move it forward to the board for full approval. Are there other concerns by other committee members? Hearing none. Let's move on to applicant number 12, Patricia Wigand. Dr. Davey?
Yes, thank you. Patricia Wigand brings forward her application to become a licensed behavior analyst in the state of Arizona. She lists experience or lists her universities and verified course sequence as Capella University and Hunter College in New York. And the application seems to be in good order. One question that appeared for me was on the public record, this would be on page 9 of 39, the individual who is signing off on the experience provides a state licensure number, which to me looks to be their BACB number, because I believe the board staff can correct me if I'm speaking incorrectly, that there is no licensure in the state of New Mexico at this juncture. So that's just listed in the wrong area. Not that I know, not that that's a huge particular issue, but that's it. With the only thing I've signed on here. Other than that, I have no concerns about the application.
All right, thank you. Other concerns or questions or comments about this application? So we, hearing none, we basically would want her to make a correction.
I don't know if it's that big of a deal. This is actually, I don't believe it's part of the, it may be part of the public record, but I just noted it, just so in case it was confusing to the board. If it's critical, you know, I'm sure that Kathy will tell us, or Jenna, and they can reach out for that to be cleaned up.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Davey, I don't think it's an issue, but Jean could correct me. New Mexico, you are correct, does not offer licensure for BAs. And it is clearly a BCBA certification number.
Yeah, maybe we could just note it. It's fine.
Is that okay to just make a note, or do we need to have her correct it?
Sorry, you could go ahead and make a note in the file.
Okay. So we recommend approval from the full board. Excuse me. The next applicant is applicant number 13, Quincy Richter, Dr. Davis Lewis.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to disclose that I was one of Mr. Richter's instructors while he was in school, but I feel that I can move forward objectively with the review of the application.
Thank you, Dr. Stenhoff.
Mr. Chairman, the same applies for me. I was also one of his instructors, but feel I can move forward without bias.
Thank you, Dr. Rates.
Perfect. So Quincy Richter was certified in August of 2017. He is seeking initial licensure in this application. He did complete 1,500 hours from period of August of 2015 to May of 2017. That was across three different practicum sites. One thing noted in his application is that he did answer yes to question number 12 related to a charge he received while he was in high school. All of the documentation has been provided to the board. I have reviewed it, and I do not have any concerns. It's also important to note that at one point he was denied a fingerprint clearance card but was able to appeal that decision with DPS and has been issued a fingerprint clearance card. We said the charge was related to when he was in high school, and he has since, you know, completed a master's degree and supervised experience, so I'm comfortable moving his application forward.
Thank you. Any other comments or concerns about this application? Hearing none, we'll move on to applicant number 14, Rahil Russo. Dr. Rates?
Yes. So Rahil received a master's degree in psychology from Pepperdine University in 2005. And then went on to, a master's degree. And then went on and documented attending University of West Florida. On the form, it indicated that she received a degree in BCBA. When you review transcripts, it looks like it was actually through their master's program and that she likely took her courses so that she could fit for the BCBA, but that was one of the notes I had that were just a little bit unclear in the documentation. She did complete 1,500 hours of supervised experience, and it indicates that her experience was completed between September 2006 and November 2008 at ASC. However, again, I noted that on her forms that were signed, there was a mismatch. So the forms indicated June 2006 through June 2007 that were signed. So while it does appear that she meets all of the qualifications, I do think we may want some changes to the application. Again, on her forms for the University of West Florida, she does not indicate when in 2006 she started. She leaves the month off. However, on the transcripts, it looks as if she started in the summer. So I do think, based on that, it looks like she did not start supervision prior to starting for her classes at University of West Florida. But there's just some discrepancies in the dates when you look at what was filled out on the application and then what was submitted by the supervisor. The supervision did take place in California, but there was not licensure, so that seemed to be fine. So, again, in summary, I think that this individual does meet the qualifications, but there are some discrepancies between some of the dates that are listed. I'm not sure if we'd ask for those to be fixed by the applicant.
Thank you for that. I'm looking at her University of West Florida transcript right now, and summer of 2006 has been her first ABA class. She began her experience on June 5th of 2006, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we would need some sort of clarification stating that the exact date of her matriculation or her start of the first class in 2006 to ensure that it wasn't before the date of June 5th, 2006.
Correct.
Is there, okay.
I think that's correct. And then on her actual application, she indicates supervision started in September of 2006. So there's that discrepancy between what's listed on her application versus what's listed on the form that was signed.
Yeah, okay. So it's possible a change in the application could remedy both?
Yeah, if she can confirm when she started that class so that we can see that it was, in fact, that the class started prior to receiving that those supervised hours, and then just update the form to indicate that June start date.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Davis-Wilson, just to confirm for me, for my information for the letter, are we referring to the University of West Florida's transcript in terms of the coursework?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
So you have this, Kathy?
Yes, I believe so.
All right. And then, so would this be a phone call or a letter?
I would do a letter.
Okay. Thank you. Any other concerns about this application? Hearing none, let's move on to applicant number 15, Rebecca Pulowski. That's enough.
Ms. Pulowski did her master's of education from Arizona State University from January of 14 to May of 15. She also received her 1,500 hours of supervision, excuse me, under Melissa Malin between March of 15 and September of 17. And I didn't note any concerns for the application.
Thank you. Other committee members, any questions or concerns about this application? Hearing none, move on to applicant number 16, Donna Nutter.
Mr. Davey. I'm going to recuse myself from this one as this individual. I did briefly supervise her during a transition period with her supervisors, and that she still currently works with the agency that I oversee.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Davey.
And thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Ms. Nutter earned her master's in education and special education, emphasis on autism and ABA and transition, the summer of 2012, started from summer of 2012 through summer of 2015. She earned over 1,500 hours in supervised experience from three different supervisors at Touchstone, Dr. Davey, Paige Breeden, and Valeria Armendariz, for a total of 1,508 hours. She was certified as a BCBA in May of 2019, and I did not note any other concerns with this application. Would recommend that it be forwarded to the board. Are there questions or concerns from others on the committee? Okay. Hearing none, our last applicant is Stephen Schubert. Dr. Davey, can you take the lead?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. learned to unmute myself. So, yes, we have Mr. Schubert coming forward, went through the Arizona State University program, curriculum instruction, master's in education. He has completed the application with Snell Med Center to the bulk of his experience and ABA prior to coming forward for a license. And reviewing the application, I found no issues for concern. He has over 1,500 hours signed off by supervisors that are in good standing with the ACB as well as with the state of Arizona.
Thank you. Any other concerns from, or any concerns from other committee members regarding this application? Hearing none, I recommend this applicant also be forwarded to the full board. That concludes our review of applications. Would anyone like to make a motion? I count 13 applicants being recommended for to the board for full review. Three for more information, and one for consideration of allowing the applicant to withdraw. Motion, anyone?
This is Brad. I so moved.
Second?
A second.
This is us. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand you did already do a motion for item number
nine. Oh, you're right. You're right. Yes. Thank you. So do we need to amend that motion or do we?
It's okay. It's the same motion.
Okay.
So you're
same
fine.
Same motion. Okay, thank you. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to item number six. Discussion, consideration, possible action regarding five-year rule review update. Ms. Jones?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. The five-year rule review will be going to GIRC for a July work session. That's where they kind of review it, see if they have any questions or problems with any of the things we presented. And then it is currently scheduled to be on the August GIRC, which is the Governor's Regulatory Review Council. It's scheduled for their August meeting. So if it is approved, then we can seek a governor, provided the board agrees, an exemption from the governor to start a new rule package. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Any questions, Ms. Jones, about that process or? Okay. New agenda items for future meetings. I will not be available on the August 2nd meeting, and so we would need someone else to step in as chair during that meeting. And I have a volunteer?
Mr. Chair, this is Dr. Davis Wilson. I'm happy to do so if nobody else is wanting to take a stab at it.
I heard you were awesome at the last time.
Oh, geez. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Davis Wilson. Any items that anyone can think of that we need to include in a future meeting? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll motion that we adjourn.
Second?
Seconded.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay, motion carries. Thank you all very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.